Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is violinist, musician, and teacher Max Buchholz. Buchholz is a graduate of Ithaca College, where he received his master's in violin performance. Since 2011, he has been director of the world music group Journey West. He has performed with many orchestras, including Orchestra of the Southern Finger Lakes, the Catskill Symphony, and the Orchestra of Northern New York. He is a masterclass accompanist at the Center for Theater Arts at Cornell University, and has also worked in the dance department at Cornell. And welcome to the show.
Hello. It's nice to be here.
Yeah. So I want to start at the beginning. How was it that you began a music career at the age of 3?
One of my first memories was when I was out in a little toy fire truck playing in the driveway in my home in Buffalo, New York, and my mother came up to me and she asked if I would like to play the violin, and obviously I said yes.
Really?
I don't remember saying yes, but...
So was your mother a music teacher? Is that why she encouraged that?
She was involved in education. She taught in elementary school, and when she was doing her master's degree, she was fortunate to witness Dr. Suzuki touring with his young group of students, and she was immensely impressed with his results. And then she ended up meeting Mary Kay Neal, who was founding the Buffalo Suzuki Strings, and my brother initially got involved with the program first, and then I started up several years after he began his
lessons. So your mother encouraged this, but obviously you took to it, right? You obviously have some kind of attraction to music.
I was following in my brother's footsteps, I believe, both orally and as far as looking up to him in a means of respecting an older brother. It was a little bit easier for me to learn the violin than it was for him, because I was hearing him practice all of the repertoire, so it was already internalized within me by the time I got to the pieces he was working on. Then my mother became ill when I was around 10 years old, and she was quite a workhorse, making sure I practiced every single day. I would only get my holidays off and my birthday and then maybe a few weeks in the summer.
Wow.
So after she became sick, I realized that was kind of the stability that I had had my whole life. And it stayed with me throughout the time period when I was 10 to about 16 years old. And then the Buffalo Suzuki Strings went on a tour to Russia.
And you went with them.
And I went with them, yes. And then I saw just how music could impact people who were less fortunate in society who had come to see us.
It does.
Perform.
It draws out emotions. It brings people out in regard to being able to talk about things. I've noticed it with music as well. Now, you went on tour with the Suzuki Strings, as we just said. Well, what was that transition like? I mean, you're studying by yourself with just a teacher, and then suddenly you're performing with, you know, in front of at least a bunch of people, if not crowds. How was that transition for a kid so young?
It was very intense. The first tour that I went on was in 1984, and I was 11 years old, and I just remember constantly being on the road. I remember whenever we would arrive at our destination, we would rehearse for several hours. It was just a job at that point in time when I was 11 years old. And then we were staying with host families as well, so there was a degree of cultural enrichment, which I didn't really realize had become instilled so deep within me until later on.
And you never rebelled, I assume. You obviously went on to make this a great career.
It was a very difficult time period in my life because I came home from that tour, and my mom had been in a psychiatric hospital.
Oh.
And my family had invited someone whom she had met at the hospital into our home, and he ended up being a con artist, and he inevitably ended up robbing our house. He burned our cat in the oven.
Oh, my God.
It was very difficult.
I'll bet it was traumatic.
Yes.
Very traumatic. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, so music flourished from that in some way.
So, yes, the music stayed a part of my life, but also the families and the director of Buffalo Suzuki Strings were secondary family and a source of stability for me. And even though I wasn't practicing as much during that time, that foundation was there, and I had two separate lives, a crazy life
at home
and then this different structured, disciplined life with the Buffalo Suzuki Strings.
I would
Strings.
Say that probably helped you through all of that, I would assume. Tell us about Journey West. Where did the seed of that come from? How did you create the group?
Well, upon graduating from Ithaca College with my bachelor's degree, I started teaching at the Waldorf School of the Finger Lakes. And I came in touch with different families there that wanted their children to learn different types of folk music. One parent in particular wanted me to teach their child Celtic music, and I had never played Celtic music before. So my first introduction to it was through recordings, and I just transcribed a lot of the pieces and began teaching them in that manner, and then later went on to study with wonderful artists in the field. Winifred Horan was one of them who performed with Solas.
Uh-huh. And so the idea for Journey West was to play a specific kind of music or what?
Journey West came about after 10, 15 years or more of studying and dabbling in different world musics. After learning Celtic music, I learned how to play swing music when my first daughter was 1 year old. Whenever she would take a nap, I would practice jazz patterns and I would come up with these pieces to play out on the streets. And during that time, I was living in Belgium. I was married with my first wife, and she is a Belgian national. She had four children and a fifth on the way with Serafina coming along. And we had no health insurance covering the cost of the birth, so we ended up moving to Belgium. We bought one-way tickets for $100 each for all the children, and except for one. We ended up living in Belgium for a year and a half, and there I was playing on the streets, and I came across a lot of Roma musicians, and I would perform with them, and they couldn't speak English, they couldn't speak French, and they couldn't speak Flemish, so our only means of communication was through music. And after that, I became more interested in Eastern European music, and played some of it, but I didn't really completely understand it until after I had met my second wife, Daniela, who's from Romania. When I was doing my master's degree at Ithaca College, I ended up traveling over to Romania and collecting Jewish folk music from a town in Botoșan, Romania.
What an absolute travel you have been on through this musical life.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
So I had played all these musics, Celtic music, Eastern European music. I played in the Cornell Middle Eastern Ensemble and also was transcribing some of that music as well, but never really had a group to bring all that music together into one performance. And then the opportunity arose in 2011 where the Orchestra of the Southern Finger Lakes, in partnership with the Rockwell Museum of Modern Art, asked me to come up with a program that would be performed at the Rockwell Museum of Modern Art. And this was entitled The Musician's Choice Performance. So I could choose all of the repertoire that went into the performance.
Wow.
And they also gave me a painting to try to work around as far as developing the programmatic material. And the painting was by an artist named N.C. Wyatt, who's an American artist and illustrator who worked in the late 1800s till around 1945.
Uh-huh.
And the picture that they gave me was what I thought of as a picture of homesteaders. And when I started thinking about homesteaders, I started thinking about all of the people that had ever come to this country that were trying to make better lives for themselves due to wars, political oppression, what have you, and how they traveled westward. And many of the homesteaders were immigrants as well. That's how I came up with the concept of Journey West.
Wow. It's a very fascinating group. I actually want to play an excerpt from Journey West's CD. This one's called Blue Water, and it's one of your compositions. Tell us a little bit about it.
In the summer of 2018, just recently, I had some personal difficulties, and I decided to go to Jordan to volunteer in the Al-Azraq refugee camp, teaching music therapy workshops to Syrian refugee children. And this Blue Water composition is a reflection upon that time.
Let's listen to a bit of it. You know, I find this music so fascinating. It almost brings me back to a past that I don't even know if I've lived it. It's fascinating music. It's nostalgic almost.
Yes, I think it's the music that was calling me to go volunteer there. And also I had seen the movie Music of Strangers, which features Yo-Yo Ma and the Silk Road Ensemble. And there's a scene in that movie where the clarinetist Kinan Asme spends some time in one of the refugee camps playing for the children. And I remember when I saw that scene, I was crying, and it stuck with me. And that's probably one of the main reasons also why I went to the camp.
Yeah, I can feel the soul in some of this music. Now, you have collaborated with many people on many different projects. What is it about your personality that helps you to collaborate? Because some people can't do that. They want all of the attention themselves, and collaboration interferes with that. Tell us how you've managed that. Is it because you enjoy working with people and, you know, working it out together?
As far as bringing international musicians into the fold, that's the type of environment I grew up with. As far as the student body of the Buffalo Suzuki Strings, I was actually thinking slightly about this question in a different vein, as far as what happened concerning my transition from being trained as a classical musician to playing more world music. And I had some memories of when my mom was really driving me hard to practice, and there was one of these all-county festival events, and there was one very skilled young musician named Gemma Lee. And my mom was saying, "You're going to get that concertmaster position. You're going to, you know." And she was, you know, whispering very harsh words of encouragement into my ear before I had to go in for the audition for that particular seat. And then I ended up becoming the concertmaster. And I didn't see Gemma Lee for many, many years because I would participate in the events in Niagara County and Erie County, and she was in Erie County, but I lived in Niagara County. So later in high school, we ended up playing string quartets together when she was a senior in high school and I was a senior in high school, and she said, and we hadn't come into contact since that time in elementary school, and she looked at me and she said, "I know you. You're Max Buckle." She said that when we had that festival, my parents just destroyed me after that. They would not let that go for years and years. And in thinking about that memory, there's many aspects of working in the classical world, and as far as my training, maybe it's changed a lot since then. But it was not really playing music together. It was in some ways playing music against each other, which I think is what drew me to other alternative forms of music. I mean, it's not always the case. If you have very refined string quartets or incredible orchestras, it's a team, and you have leadership coming from the conductor, or you have some way in which everybody is unifying for a common goal. But I didn't find that to be the case.
Tell us about Journey West, though. I mean, you're the leader of this music extravaganza. How do you decide on music that you're going to play and arrangements? Are you in charge of all that, or is that a collaboration?
I generally end up picking all the music for the ensemble. I invite input, but I don't always receive it, so I just have to jump ahead and pick the selections. We have a concert coming up and a workshop with St. Lawrence University, and the choral director and the orchestra director were saying, "Oh, we need the material, we need the material." And similar cases to this, I had asked members of Journey West to provide some ideas, but sometimes they're not forthcoming immediately, so I end up having to take on that responsibility.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Max Buckholz. He is a violinist, musician, and teacher, and we're talking about the group that he is the director of, Journey West. I want to play another excerpt from this Journey West CD. This is called Solaf.
Yes.
To tell us a little bit about that.
So in relationship to your last question, well, one musician who does bring a lot of material into the group is Imad Altaha. Between the two of us, we're the primary people involved in decision-making for the performance pieces. Mm-hmm. So he brought this composition to us, which was written by the composer Hanim Hadid. Hanim was Imad's teacher. in Iraq. And when Imad was playing in the Baghdad Symphony, he sat next to Ghanim's daughter. And this selection, Solaf, was written for Ghanim's daughter, whose name is Solaf.
Let's listen to a bit of it. Okay, you know what I want to talk to you about, too? I want to talk about the fact that you play concerts all the time. Tell us what that is like for you. Do you like being out in front of an audience? You almost strike me as somebody who likes the behind-the-scenes working, you know, in small groups. And so what's it like with a whole audience out there watching you and listening?
I find something different overtakes me. My personality is kind of introverted. So finally, when I get out in front of an audience, I lived with the violin since I was 3 years old, and I obviously feel very comfortable with it at this point in time. So yeah. It's an easy means of expressing myself. It's much easier than speaking.
So you feel right at home around a big crowd of strangers.
Yeah, and I feed off of it as well. So there have been some concerts I've had to play where I felt incredibly ill beforehand, and then I'll perform and I'll feel better afterwards. I'll feel like it's been some type of healing experience. Speaking along the same lines, my family took a vacation in Romania this summer, and I came back and I had picked up a bacterial infection and a parasite, and I was sick for 18 days and I had fevers and it was terrible.
Wow.
And after coming back, our final flight was from Milan to Toronto, and I had a 105-degree fever. I really felt like I was going to die. It was awful. And then we drove back from Toronto, and then I had to drive back to Buffalo for a performance. And I thought, how am I going to do this? I was having fever for days, and when I performed, I felt normal.
Wow, that's and then so when that is
I,
healing,
then
right?
Then when I went back to stay at my parents' house, I couldn't get off the couch.
Really? So that it was a healing, or at least you were able to get into some kind of a mental state to overcome the obstacle of illness. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, well, okay, folks, that proves that music is healing. Absolutely. Do you have routines in which you work on your instruments and work on your writing and so on? Do you work every day? Do you practice the violin? Tell us what your traditions are for that.
In general, making a living as a freelance musician is just utter chaos. So
really?
It is, yeah. I'm always jumping from one project to the next, and sometimes I have two, three projects going on at the same time. And it's hard to fit it in. You have to be disciplined to find, you know, your 5 to 20 minutes here and there to work on things.
But you still think it's necessary, even though you've been doing this since you were born, pretty much.
Yes, and also my job at Cornell University really helps immensely, where I accompany dance classes, and it's, in general, it's close to 100% improvisation, which is involved within the Journey West performances. There are sections of the pieces which are strictly improvisatory. So at Cornell, I'll bring my 3 violins. They're all in different tunings. There's the Western tuning, there's Turkish Greek tuning, and the Arabic tuning.
Wow.
And I'll switch between the instruments to get different ideas and to provide different colors for the dancers. So that's my daily discipline. I play, you know, up to 3 hours a day playing for these classes. So
that
keeps me in shape, even if I don't have much time to work on the other material. And sometimes if I'm preparing for a Journey West concert, I'll play the selections for the concert in the dance classes, as long as everything lines up with the phrasing.
Yeah, yeah. And so when you get together with the Journey West musicians, do you guys have to rehearse before performances?
Yeah, that's very difficult, especially now that our violinist Imad has moved to Columbus, Ohio.
Mm.
So we'll be performing at the Johnson Art Museum on October 26th at 7 p.m. as part of an exhibition being put on there, an installation, I should say, called How the Light Gets In, Migration and Contemporary Art. So we're being featured at the Johnson on the campus of Cornell University.
Yeah.
So he's going to fly in at 2 p.m. in Syracuse. We're going to race to Colgate University, where we're performing Friday night. We'll rehearse with him during a sound check. We'll perform there. We'll come back, and in the morning we'll have, or early afternoon, we'll have a rehearsal here in Ithaca. Then we'll perform Saturday night. We just try to fit it in.
That's quite a commitment for all you guys to have to come together with at the
same time. Yes, and there's a lot of members that live locally, so we'll have weekly rehearsals. And then when Imad was living in Utica, I would drive up there to rehearse with him, or I would drive up to Hamilton to rehearse with Ayman. So I would be on the road doing these smaller rehearsals so that by the time we got together, things were fairly cohesive.
Well, yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about Middle Eastern music, which is featured on this Journey West CD. Tell us about what that even means. Is it the way that you use the instruments? How does that differentiate from other styles?
For one thing, traditionally the violins are tuned differently. The standard Western tuning for the violin is G, D, A, E, and for the Arabic violin it's G, D, G, D. So the top strings are tuned down, which gives it a little bit of a darker, more mellow sound. Mm-hmm. The other big differentiation in Arabic music is that it's homophonic, which means that generally it's devoid of harmony. You just have a melodic line and everybody's playing the same melody with slight variations that are going on simultaneously. So there are some layers of richness there provided in that means, but in general everybody is sticking to the same melody, and then there's underlying rhythms that change according to the mood or nature of the melody.
I find it haunting. I find a lot of Middle Eastern music quite haunting.
Yeah.
Your CD fits right into that for me. Mm-hmm. Let's play another excerpt from Journey West. This is called Remembrance. This is one of your compositions.
It is,
as well.
Yes. Remembrance is a small excerpt from the composition Sprouts from the Rubble, which was written for 2 refugee musicians, Diana Seitz, who fled Azerbaijan in 1989, and Imad Altaha, who came to the United States in 2016 after 6 years of vetting through the UNHCR. And Imad is from Iraq. He was forced to play for Saddam Hussein at one point in time, and then later had a successful recording career in Dubai, and he's the violinist who performs with Journey West.
it seems to me that you're always in touch with music in your life. Is there any time when you take a vacation from it?
No.
Really? Music is always on your mind. It's always there in front and center in your days.
Yes, definitely so.
Wow. Well, that's amazing to me. I want you to give the contact information so people can get in touch with you, and also talk a little bit for a second about what's coming up next, performances.
So our contact can be obtained through going to our website, which is journeywestmusic.com. And you can find our performance dates there. Locally, we'll be performing at the Palace Theater in Hamilton, New York on October 25th. I believe it's at 7 or 7:30 p.m. And then at the Johnson Art Museum on October 26th. And then we have a small private performance on the 27th in Ithaca. And then later we'll be at St. Lawrence University in Canton, New York, the second week of November. That's also on the website.
Great. Oh, well, that's great. That's great. Well, Max Buchholz, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been great, and good luck with the future and the music.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. And we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.